Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport, coming to answer your colour and style questions. I'm from Inside Out Style blog. Please come to my blog, insideoutstyle.com and insideoutstyleblog.com. And get lots and lots of colour and style tips. I mean, I have got a body shape calculator if you're not sure of your shape. I've got so many different tools, lots of free downloads, all sorts of things to help you discover what suits you and your style. So let's see what's in my magic question pot today. I'll take the big one. Let's see what it is. Linda has asked, I've seen many grey-haired women wear black and white and look great. Why doesn't it work for me? I always hear a little black, white or white jacket would look great, or a little white t-shirt under this. What can I wear instead of white? Grey can replace black. And if it's grey, what should I look for, as a plain grey may not look nice and crisp? This comes down to your own personal colouring. There's no one answer for this. Just because I've got grey hair does not mean that what works for one person works for everybody else. What you might be seeing with some of these women who have got grey hair, they could have very dark grey hair. And this allows them to wear more of the black more easily. Now, I tend to find black starts to look really harsh. So often they might have a lighter, something that moves the black away from their face instead of wearing it right next to their face. But it is quite harsh, or they might be wearing a bit more makeup. That also can help. So if you're a more natural girl, then the black and the white really are bright, harsh, strong colours and can really easily wash you out. So of course a dark grey can replace black really easily here. And an off-white replaces crisp white. It's not that you can't wear white, it's just that bright, clinical white doesn't work so well. So when we are thinking about white, we're thinking about an off-white, a soft white, just not that, what I think of that kind of, you know, bright paper white, that, you know, doctor jacket white, which tends to be the whitest, whitest, coolest, brightest white. So there is nothing wrong with wearing white at all. Everybody can wear a version of white. I always say, look at the whites of your eyes and choose a white that matches them. Just like when we're painting our walls white. Now, is that pure white? No, there's actually a little bit of something added to it. It could be a little bit of yellow added to it. It could be a little bit of grey added to it. It could be all sorts of different things. This is why when we're painting rooms and we get all those white swatches that we are comparing, that they are giving us an idea of which white works in our light and our space and our environment. Because, of course, even the light we live in will change how colours look on it, on us as well. But we still call the ball white. So just because it might not be a pure bright white doesn't mean we don't look at it and say it's white. So please get out of your head that you can't wear white. And with black, I would say if you have the darker your grey hair is, the easier it is to wear the darker versions. And if you've got that real salt and pepper hair, this is often why we sometimes like that black and white on some women as they're going grey, is because they've got some very white parts of their hair and also some very dark parts. So it works with that high value contrast. But not everybody looks so great with that. Also helps if you have cool colouring over warm. So often the warmer greys just have a little bit more kind of taupe in them. They don't work as well with the black and the white. They just don't look as good. And also depends on, say, your eye colour. If you've got a very dark brown eye, then that high contrast is like fairly white grey hair, then that high contrast is going to work for you. But if you've got a much lighter coloured eye, you probably will find that dark light just doesn't work as well if you've got overall kind of a light grey hair. I always think when we've got that grey hair, really, if you want to repeat that in your outfits. So this is where something like, say, a black and white houndstooth or tweed can work well, where it's not just a solid black or a solid white. And what happens is, from that distance, what we're seeing is something that actually relates, especially that kind of tweed look, it relates much more to that combination of light and dark kind of black and white in your hair. So they are some little things to think about, but there's no reason why you can't wear your version of white, and you can't wear something darker, provided it works for you and your palette. If you've got too much dark, it may overwhelm you. If that dark color is too bright, so remember, we're thinking about a more muted version of gray, like not black, but gray, because it's got gray in it, which makes it muted, rather than a bright version. So really, I think sometimes when we see that black too on some white-haired ladies, it creates quite a lot of drama. And you'll often see it with the black sunglasses. So they're doing something to bring that dark back up to their face. I noticed that there's some, some kind of influential style bloggers who have the kind of almost white grey hair and they wear a lot of black, but you'll often see them wearing sunglasses, like black sunglasses, because what they're doing is they're putting some black on their face to relate that black outfit to. Or they might have a lot of black eye makeup, things like that too. It's got to relate to something in your colouring. So there's some little thoughts on thinking about adding that really dark black and white to your look. But often think about looking for more blended patterns where there is that version of black, grey and white can work quite well. Also too, probably also depends on your skin colour and whether or not your skin is more coloured or more neutral. So I would suggest that someone looks great in black and white probably has quite a neutral skin as well, rather than one that is more coloured, which probably demands a bit more colour. So you can't just put all grey-haired ladies in the same basket. Your colouring is actually still can be quite different from each other, depending on everything else in your colouring, in your colour contrast and all those things as well. Next question. Lindy has asked, how do I get a waist if belts mostly make me look short-waisted? Untucked is a bit untidy. Belt loops sometimes work depending on the shirt. What other options? Especially if I'm trying to look smarter for work and I only wear pants. Untucked only really looks untidy if the shirt is too loose. If you have something that's much more fitted, you'll find that untucked, and it's the right length, untucked can work well, but it has to be a garment that is constructed to be worn untucked. And the way that the garment is fitted is to be worn untucked. Now, you could make alterations to your garments to do this, but these shirts don't want to be so long and they can't be too voluminous on the whole. With the belt loop tuck, that's a really easy way, because it allows us a bit of draping. We can do the half tuck, and that where we have some of it tucked in and some of it draping over to think about. And otherwise, I would be really looking at the style of shirts you're wearing, because if you're wearing, say, a knit top that's not overly loose, then it probably would work untucked. I would only tuck in if it's something that's much more blousy. So if you are wearing a voluminous blouse, if you tuck in, make sure the belt, if you're wearing a belt, matches your pants, not your top, because that will help to elongate your body. And actually, no, the wrong way around. Make sure the belt matches your shirt. You want to, that helps you to create more elongation through the body, not the other way around. That's, if you want this, the belt matching your pants elongates your legs. The belt matching your shirt elongates your body and makes you look less short-waisted. So that is one thought. Then I would have some voluminous and I would blouse it out over the top of the belt so that the belt is not, we're not just tucking it in and then shortening the waist down. Just got to put my glasses on. So that, that we're creating a bit more length. So when we are tucking, I always think a lot about blousing. If I'm not long-waisted already, if I'm not really defined through my waist, if I'm tucking, I am really blousing. I'm allowing that fabric to create more length through the body. And then even things like, what kind of shirt is it? If it's got a collar, it creates a bit more length because we see the garment going longer than if it's got a really open neckline. When that opens that up, that kind of actually shortens the body down a bit more. So think even things like that. How high the armholes are as well. If you have a low armhole and we're tucked in, that tends to also shorten the body down and widen it. So there's a bunch of little things you can think about. I would be thinking about, if I want to wear things untucked, the garment needs to be made to wear untucked. If I'm going to tuck in, I will think about what color belt am I wearing, and blousing that garment out. I will think about if I want to do a half tuck. So a half tuck is a good way, but if something's too bulky, it often adds a bit too much to your tummy. And you don't have to just half tuck at the front. You can half tuck to one side. That's often better than half tucking to the front. The other thing we can do is what we call the Kim tuck, which was developed by one of my amazing student graduates from my Academy of Professional Image training programs. And she does what we, and her name's Kim, and she does the Kim tuck, but she gets a rubber band. And if you go on the blog, and I'll link to this as well, there is the Kim tuck where you use the rubber band on the inside and that draws some of the fabric in and it takes some of the volume out. So it's a little bit like a belt loop tuck, but it does a different thing. So that is another option. But I would be looking at the garments you're choosing, because potentially, if you are short-waisted, you're choosing garments that are too long, so they need to be taken up so that you can be worn out, or you're choosing garments the wrong shape for wearing out. So that would also be at the recruitment phase when you're buying the things. You want to be looking to say, will they actually be flattering on my body shape before I take these things home? That is my number one tip, is to actually work out what works for your shape and makes you feel really comfortable as well. I think that's also incredibly important, that if you're not feeling really comfortable in the garment, then don't buy it. Or if it requires too many alterations that you're not prepared to do, don't buy it. Lots of things to think about there. Okay, final question for today. Kelly said, I'm having trouble figuring out my body shape. What tips have you got? So body shape is the silhouette from the front of shoulders, waist, and hips, and what that difference is. It's not bust. So, you know, ignore the bust. The bust is what we call a body variation. Shoulders, waist, and hips. The easiest way, and it's really that silhouette, easiest way to figure out your shape is to get yourself in some leggings and a tight tank top and take a photo from yourself front on from a reasonable distance away. You don't want it too close. Being too close tends to distort things, but, and you want to have, don't want to have underwear that kind of digs in at places either. So think about, you want a fairly smooth line of your shape. And this is really going to give you a good idea of your shape. Then you look at shoulders, like where is the narrowest point? If it's under your bust, like for me, my narrowest point on my torso is just under my bust. And in fact, my natural waist, so your natural waist is underneath your rib cage. So where your rib cage ends and before your pelvis begins, this is where your natural waist is. For me, that's actually wider than underneath my bust. And on my rib cage, it's actually a bit wider than my rib cage is. So for me, don't have a waist, don't have a naturally defined waist. So we're looking at, do we have a naturally defined waist or not? So how much does it really go in? Do we see that natural waist or is it not really there? If it's right underneath your bust, that's not your waist. That is your rib cage that is slimmer. If your waist is wider, probably maybe not such a defined waist. Is there a difference between shoulders and hips? And when we're looking at shoulders here, I'm looking at from that shoulder bone. Often the outer upper arms might still bulge out more depending on your arm structure. But we're really looking at that kind of the edge of the shoulders, where that shoulder bone is, where that sticks out. Taking it from that point and then dropping a line down, which is why if you do on a photo, it's often much easier to see. Because you can actually just get a piece of paper or something, a straight line, and draw it down and say, you know, if I draw that vertical line down from the shoulders to down past the hips, are the hips inside that line or outside that line? That means we've got, is it a, you know, balanced body shape where they're fairly similar. I mean, if it's a tidgy bit, it really doesn't matter. It's merely more if there is a significant difference between the shoulders and the hips. Where then is the widest point on the hips? If we have the high hips, so I think about the Barbie shelf where the body comes down and then like a Barbie doll, she comes in at the waist and then she goes straight out to a high heel shelf. That is more an H-shaped lower body. But if she goes in and then gradually slopes out and the widest point is down on the upper thighs, that is an X or an A-shaped lower body. So thinking about those things, this is how we think about it. But I really go, take photos of yourself. And I've got some great photos and explanations on my body shape calculator quiz page, my little instructions before you do that quiz, I have a free quiz for you to do. And then the other thing that I always recommend people do is actually, if you're a little bit, I'm not sure if I'm in this or that shape, try the recommendations for each of them on. Take photos, see which you think is the most flattering. In the end, remember, body shapes are just some general guidelines. You're a unique individual, and you will find that, you know, some things may work out of the guidelines, that some, you know, there might be a few things that don't, and that might come down to body proportions and body variations and other aspects of your body as well. Because body shape only tells us where to put some detail and the overall silhouette of the garment. It doesn't tell you how long your sleeves should be, or how long your, where you should end your tops, or where you should end your pants or skirts. That is not body shape. That is body proportions. So when we're thinking about body shape, it only tells us a little bit. You're unique. Try the things on. Try recommendations. If you've come down to two shapes and you're not sure, try the recommendations on. For each of those shapes, take photos of yourself, see which is the most flattering, because in the end, you want to create your own set of guidelines that works for you. You don't have to fit some perfect shape at all. These are just some general guidelines that we have found tend to work. But some people are a little bit of a mishmash of two body shapes, and some people are quite kind of almost in between, where they go, I can take these guidelines from this body shape and these guidelines from that one, and I make my own shape. And there is nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly acceptable to do that. So I always say, take the guidelines, try them out, see what works, but take photos. It's very hard to analyze what is and isn't working if we are not taking photos. So that really can help you if you are trying to figure out your shape and what really works for you and what you like to wear and what flatters you. Take the photos. And of course, if you really want my professional opinion, I give that as part of a style consultation, or also in my 7 Steps to Style program, which also covers, you know, colouring, personality, wardrobing, personal values, all sorts of other stuff that's really important and related to your style. So if you're struggling on finding your style, please join my 7 Steps to Style program, because it really, really can give you the information you need, and plus comes with some of my professional opinion as well. But I can't just tell everybody in the world what their body shapes are. I'd get no other work done. So this is why I've created my free quiz, my body shape calculator quiz. You can try that for free as well on the blog to, you know, get an understanding of what your shape is. And of course, if you're stuck in between two, try the clothes on, see what the recommendations are, and see which, you know, you work for you. Often looking at your favorite outfits, the ones that you think look the best on you, this can often give you a little idea to what your body shape is, because if you then go, okay, well, what is this? Which one does it relate to? That may also give you a really good clue as to what your shape is. So please do send me some more style and color questions. Always here to answer them. And head over to the blog for lots and lots more information about colors, styles, how to put wardrobes together, creating style recipes, so many different things there. Thousands and thousands of blog posts to help you look and feel great and more confident and more like you every single day. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.